open the Senate Revenue Committee for Monday, March 24th afternoon. We're going to first go into a work session on Senate Bill 327, and I believe we're going to, if you're here for 819, I don't see Senator Devlin, my intention would be to hold that off for probably 2 days. And bring it back. Our schedule is pretty full Thursday, so maybe bring it back Wednesday if the votes are there to move the bill. Open a work session on Senate Bill 327. Representative Verger, if you want to help reacquaint us with this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Joanne Verger, Oregon representative from District 9, which is down on the southern Oregon coast. The long-term rural enterprise zone property tax exemption was created in 1997, and it was to help counties such as Coos County with their economic development. I come to you from local government, having served as 8 years as mayor, and have worked extensively with a economic development projects in my area, which have been not as fruitful as we would have hoped. However, the rural long-term abatement has been a tool that we have enjoyed being able to offer. And what has happened is one of the eligibility requirements is the unemployment rate. And in Coos County, the unemployment rate dropped, and the state employment rate raised. And so we have a greater percentage now between the two that makes us ineligible for this tax abatement. And that is of great concern to us, because basically the county only has the enterprise zone as the way of having people come in. You know, I do think that we need to be very careful about exemptions and tax expenditures, and I think it is certainly accountable that every session we look at everything. However, I will tell you that this doesn't change anything. This is exactly the way it's been before, and so we're not adding anything new. One of the reasons that this has occurred is that the state unemployment rate has raised so drastically. The other thing is that we have lost people out of jobs who have been able to move, and so that has changed some of the numbers as well. This bill, Senate Bill 327, just simply eliminates the requirement of the unemployment rate having those percentages, and so that business firms can qualify and be eligible for the property tax exemption. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions if anyone has anything they'd like to ask me. All right.
Committee.
If not, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Perger.
Mazin, do you want to brief us on, we were waiting for a fiscal and a revenue impact about a month ago when we first heard this bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the fiscal office has determined there is no fiscal impact for this bill. On the revenue side, at this point, as we look on the tax expenditure report, the set of laws that the bill aligns itself to are about $1 million in expenditure for the tax expenditure as a whole. That's the existing laws. Now, with the definition going from, for the definition, what it does as it currently exists, it makes the unemployment as the measure of how you give the tax exemption. With what Representative Verger have described, with a lot of the counties probably not improving, but staying where they are, and the whole state and employment going up, the difference or the discrepancy between the two is getting smaller. And in that sense, what it is doing, the number of counties that, or the number of zones that qualify for this definition gets smaller by that definition. Thus, we're looking at, as the Economic Development Department, their chart that you saw last time, we're going from about 30 zones to about 18 zones if things stay the same as they are. If this bill passes, we go from that to 37 zones. So at this time, the amount is about $1 million. If one would look at this in a way that makes it proportional, you're not looking at very much of an impact in that sense. But there might be, depending on who and how quickly they take advantage of it. so we, at this point, we think there is a minimal impact on local governments, and of course also they qualify for the, when they qualify for the state income tax, that also a minimal impact, just to align it with what we have today. In the biennium, less than $1 million for both.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Warren Works? Yes, Senator Hammond.
Amazing the $1 million that you've estimated here on your revenue impact statement. And that $1 million impact you have for both the local and state government,
right.
How do you itemize the deduction or the lost revenue for local government, which I assume would be through the property tax?
That's correct.
And through the state would be the income tax?
Yes, Senator Hannah, that's true. When the businesses qualify for the, then they get the income tax exemption. As they qualify for that, they have to reach certain limits, of course, $1 million in liability and so on. At this point, what we see is about 50,000 the last time I looked at the tax exempt expenditure report, so that it's not that large. There's one business that currently qualifies. Or there are additional requirements that need to be reached before a business would qualify for the income tax exemption. And those additional is the threshold of income, and then also the governor's agreement is of which to grant or not the, so there's also the gubernatorial agreement to do it.
If we, Mr. Chairman, if we were to not consider this legislation, what is the net effect to those enterprise zones? How many are affected? 18?
Will be,
or is it just this one in Coos County?
So I know the there will be the ones, the chart that we looked at last time from the Economic Department says that at this point we have about 30 qualify. If things continue to go the way they have been going, we will end up with about 18. By the end of the fiscal year, I believe. And then if we go with the Senate bill or with the bill, then the definition extends it to 37. So that's where you go from 30 to 18, which is almost half. The counties that don't qualify anymore are the ones, I think Coos County is probably one of them, the ones that don't qualify Union, Wallawa, Wasco, Tillamook, and Coos still, I guess, not qualified now, but it would be under the new law. It's not qualified now, won't be heard, but if we apply the new definition, as we take out the difference between the county and the state definition of unemployment, then it would become qualified for that distinction.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, I'd like to pose a question to you. Is it our intention, if we are to, at some point, somewhere, we're going to have to talk about the revenue situation, raising revenue, not depleting it? My question to you is, if we move to reduce other tax credits and open up this tax credit for more, are we in fact putting ourselves again in the potential position of giving more away in tax credits than we are receiving in the form of revenue? And at this critical time, I understand the necessity for enterprise zones and those issues associated with trying to jumpstart the economy, but I also understand the reality of revenues lost to local and state government. So I'm trying to find out for your idea and the direction you'd like to go in this.
Senator Hanna, I think that's an excellent question in terms of which, and doing it in a process that which tax credits or which expenditures ought we expand and how ought we expand them, and the job and fiscal impact. And that's part of the, I think, the dilemma that we have is, on bills like this, what is the negative fiscal impact of doing nothing in terms of jobs lost and income lost, both to the state and the cities and the counties? So for this bill, it certainly made my list as one that was pretty important for rural Oregon to ensure that those 18 of the 30 rural enterprise districts, that they still maintain their status and are still able to keep the companies that they've been able to attract and retain those jobs and hopefully expand them. But I think you're right. As we work with our chairs of Ways and Means, which we've been meeting with them, that is I think that's the charge for this committee, is how do we balance out the two or three or four ideas that we would put as stimulus or incentives, and how do we balance those as proper incentives for the economy to get us moving again and what the state can do, and how do we balance that out by looking at that whole expenditure report and any revenue ideas. I think the co-chair's budget will, that's going to come out in about 2 or 3 weeks, will help shape that debate in a pretty significant way, because that budget will, I think, provide this committee many opportunities to review, well, I would just say the question that you put forth, I think will be firmly in our lap at that point when that co-chair's budget comes out.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Ringo.
I had a question for Madison about, I understand the, on the back page of your analysis, it says the credits can range from 5 to 15 years as determined by the governor. Could you explain to me how that works?
The way I believe it works, Senator Pringle, is that on property taxes is more of what I work with, but this comes basically on the income tax, where the governor gives the amount or allows for the overall exemption to happen. But the exact mechanism of it, I'm
I could get it.
Okay, but it's within the governor's discretion to determine whether the tax credit lasts from the length of the tax credit?
The governor has to actually grant the tax credit on the income taxes.
Uh-huh.
That's a requirement for the tax credit to occur. And I think not a, the development department art is here. You could make a lot more of a description of how the process works, because they have to take it to the governor. There is, needs to be an approval process that goes through. Some think that it is a lot more complicated than others and so on. But that is a requirement for the income tax to be done. However, they also have to meet thresholds first before the governor approval goes in.
All right. Thank you.
Did you want to have Mr. Fish up?
I mean, Mr. Chair, I'm fine with this bill, and I'm going to vote for the bill. Frankly, I think Senator Hannon raised some good points, and I could we could debate the wisdom of some of these tax breaks all day long, but I am satisfied that local government folks do believe that these create local stimulus, and I think that's very important for our state. And so even though I may not totally understand the mechanism of how the governor's office determines the tax credits and how long they last for, I'm going to vote for this bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hannon.
Is there somebody from Revenue, did you say, it was here?
Mr. Fish from the Economic Development Department.
If he'd come forward, I have some questions I'd like to ask.
Mr. Jefferson.
Senator Farrioli.
Mr. Chairman, I think the good senator from Ashland's comments are something we all ought to pay attention to in terms of you know, not only balancing the budget, but just to echo what Senator Ringo said, prioritizing reasonably. But I believe the enterprise zones affect the local property tax base, and the fact is that it's the local property tax base that has to come to the state to get approval to abate taxes. But it's essentially those taxes that are abated that act as an incentive in an enterprise zone to bring new businesses in. So the question is, if we eliminated this particular property tax, what effect would that have on the general fund? Zero, Mr. Chair. That's my impression.
Oh, Mr. Chair?
Another point, Senator Ringo.
Well, just to respond to that, Senator Farrioli, I mean, this has two parts to it. One is a property tax exemption, and the other is the income tax credit.
Right.
And the income tax credit would have impacted
them. Absolutely right. Absolutely and right. I'm just referring, Mr. Chairman, if I could respond, just to the property tax abatement under the enterprise zone creation.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Senator Hannon.
Is it Mr. Fish? Okay. The question I have for you is, I'm a businessman, and I want to create some jobs in one of the enterprise zones in Oregon. So I go to the local Department of Economic Development, the county, and I get lined up with all the support and everything. Is there any guarantee or requirement on my part that after I take advantage of those tax credits and tax reductions on my property tax, that I have to maintain a business for a certain period of time, b employees for a certain duration, and c pay living wage jobs and not minimum wage jobs? Are there any of those requirements in this provision?
Chair Deckert, members of the House or Senate, I'm here this morning, Senate Revenue Committee, Senator Hannon, again for the record, my name is Arthur Fish with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. Yes and no. To answer your question, let me explain with respect to the, because if your business coming in using an enterprise zone, mostly we're just talking about the regular 3 to 5 year exemption on your new property. With that program, and I'll get to this this program real quick, but with the regular program, which has been around for quite some time, you have to obviously be a business, either, and you can be an existing business that's just expanding, or a new business to the enterprise zone, and through some fairly automatic steps that are handled at the local level, but more administratively by maybe a local economic development people or somebody in the county planning or somebody's been assigned to basically approve people, and then they file with the assessor, and the new property that they've brought is exempted for at least 3 years. And the only requirement there that pertains to your question would be that they have increased their employment in the zone by one person or 10%, whichever is greater. And oftentimes the greater is, well, it's just in that one category because a lot of small businesses use this. They are not required for the 3 year to pay anything in particular, but if they want to extend that to 4 or 5 years in total, they have to get local approval and pay a very high level of average compensation based on 150% of the county average wage. Does that answer your question?
Mr. Chairman, if I can. So, in other words, what you're saying is that there is a wage requirement that they have to pay a certain level of wage above a certain level in the county.
Mm-hmm.
The other question I have is, if I'm a businessman and I come in and I work through local government for this benefit at the local level on my property taxes and deferrals, do I qualify for also tax credits for job training? Do I qualify for tax credits for environmental impact if I'm at all these other tax credits? I'm trying to find out. We got about 200 tax credits in this state, and we give far more away than we collect in taxes. We're talking about raising people's taxes. We're giving it back to them. The Lord taketh and giveth it back to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all looking for that perfect tax, including myself. I'm looking for the tax that somebody else pays and I don't have to pay it. And I'm just wondering about tax credits, where we're headed with this. Are we taking more and more and more out of the tax credits and giving back to start businesses, in essence subsidizing to the extent that if you bring a business in and compete against me, do I get the same requirements if I've been in business for 10 years or 5 years or 15 years? Do I get the same tax credits that you get for coming through the door and saying, I want to join up and run in competition with you?
Okay. Chair Deckert, members of the Senate Revenue Committee, Senator Hannon, I'm just going to focus on sort of business tax incentives in the enterprise zone. I mean, there's larger issues, of course, about, you know, how much, you know, our tax base could be and how much people pay vis-a-vis what we collect. But first of all, with only one real exception, which is the recent e-commerce tax credit, there are no tax credits that generally apply in an enterprise zone necessarily. But there are a number, I don't consider the number that businesses can really use for development purposes to be a very long list. But there are things like the pollution control tax credit, the business energy tax credit, and some other things that a business that is using an enterprise zone may also qualify for. And now with this long-term program, there is a special tax credit associated with that, and I'll address that in for Senator Ringo. But so there are some tax credits out there that businesses that have used enterprise zones have also qualified for and received. And whether they're a new business to the enterprise zone or the state or not, I believe they are on a very equal footing as far as being able to qualify. And for the enterprise zone benefits that affect property taxes, that's the same case. They're on an equal footing. You know, the same requirements apply. They may or may not be as favorable depending upon a firm situation, but they are the same.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Hannon, one thing that I think your questioning brought up is that we have received, 15, 20 tax credit bills, which we have not, as you know, held hearings on at this point. We'll have a memo will be out letting folks know that in about 10 days or around there, we'll start having hearings on maybe a few of those tax credits. But in general, in the climate that we're in, we're not really reviewing tax credit bills because of just, I guess, the nature of the question that you put forth is that everyone's interested in a credit at this point, but the fiscal climate doesn't allow us to have as broad discussions as we've had in the past.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've been working with Mr. Warner, and I got some figures here of almost $765 million worth of revenue that we could use just by slowing down some of the current tax exemptions. If we kept mortgage rate interest on a $300,000 home, so you got to reduce your mortgage below $300,000, that generates about $52 million. You set the federal tax subtraction for individual at $3,000, that generates $115,000. You do a proportional income tax reduction of tax credits, and that generates $400 million. And things like this, that we can go right down the list. And then at the same time, we're trying to say, we need revenue over here. We're saying, how much is this going to generate over here to create jobs? And so the question I want to ask you is, in exchange for $1 million fiscal impact to the state of Oregon or local government, how much in return is that going to generate above that $1 million? Do you have a ballpark figure and say, for every $1 million of investment we make in an enterprise zone, we can generate $5 million, $6 million, $7 million in revenue to the state of Oregon, or is this revenue out the window?
Chair Deckard, members of the Senate Revenue Committee, Senator Hannon, you raise a lot of good issues, and I understand a lot of the taxes you refer to, but they're not the sort of things that I can comment on, like house mortgage interest rates. But I do feel that if you look at the long-term enterprise zone program, I don't know how the revenue impact is configured there. There's only one facility so far that has used this particular program and has had, I believe, a dramatic economic impact in the Riddle area and is a good-paying company, and they did receive the governor's approval at a time when the total time period was set at 15, so there wasn't any variance there that the governor could ascribe to. And they're still, and to use that credit, they have to have paid at least $1 million in tax payment to the state to begin with. So I know they're still paying a good lot. Then the question is the credit that they're able to use against the income from that facility. It's only the income from that facility. And that would be a loss insofar as they would have had that money in that facility to pay taxes on anyway. But we look at it in this terms of this program, and then you look at the property tax side, and there's pluses and negatives. I mean, one of the negatives is that, this plant might draw in additional people that need services and so forth in the local area or in the state. The positives are that maybe there's people in a surplus labor area like that that wouldn't be working as well or as at high a pay, and now they're paying personal income taxes and property taxes that wouldn't have been collected as before. And so I can't really say that whatever the $1 million in lost or foregone property taxes plus whatever use they're making of the income tax credit, which if they're using it is only in this next year, if that's $1 million or so, that sounds kind of low, so I'm not sure what the $1 million relates to, but there are a lot of impacts that have positive economic effects. Now, that's the long-term program. I was mentioning the 3 to 5 year before, and that, I believe, has some real potential, because not only you lose some property tax payment, more or less, depending upon how much you could have counted on that investment to begin with, but you also get something in return after a fairly short period. 7 to 15 is a long time frame, but 3 to 5 is, barely, a biennium and a half, and you've got some property tax coming in on capital that, may not have been there soon anyway. So there's a lot of potential for, I think, the 3 to 5 year to arguably more or less pay for itself over the long term, if it's really helping these areas to have more investment, and maybe more investment in Oregon in total than we might have seen otherwise, and thus have more taxable property over the long run, as well as potentially some additional employment. With the longer term exemption, you can't be as sure about it, because you've lost a lot for quite a while, and you are, in effect, maybe trading taxes for jobs. And then the question is, does that additional employment that's required with this program, and this program does require a certain minimum number of jobs, it always carries a compensation requirement, that 150%, and I think if you look on that chart, the second to left-hand column that I handed out gives the compensation level that must be met on average by all employees, so that's pretty high, and that's probably the most difficult hurdle for companies to have used the long-term program is that. And then there's a certain minimum investment and jobs associated with that. But it also only applies in certain enterprise zones, and that's the question before you with this bill. And so then the idea is, okay, if you go from, we've had about 20 so zones, maybe 15 counties that have been eligible over the years. And the thing I gave you before that should be in your packet has both an statewide map with little triangles next to the zones that currently can offer this, plus the chart that Mazen was referring to quite expertly as far as sort of the no's and yeses, as far as current, without the bill, with the bill. And in the past, this bill was created with the Nucor plan in mind, and so we were quite astounded to see Coos County fall off the list. A lot of people were added to the list with the onset of the recession, because one of the definitions in there that would be removed got them in just if there was this big jump from year to year, regardless of how they compared to the state. With Coos County, they didn't jump as much, and the rise and the jump in the state rate kind of diluted them out of the program, because they don't have low enough income to qualify in the other way.
So, Art, just to get at the heart of your question, mm-hmm. There has to be an investment.
Yeah.
Any incentive that's going to be realized, the company first has to make that investment, and this is largely a county decision because it's county property taxes, but for the sake of our pacification, there has to be that investment that triggers all the activity that
you
do.
And then, Chair Decker, members of the committee, you're right. Then it's just as I, before I got off on the bill and the program, it's an economics question. What are the benefits locally or statewide? And again, it could be more a positive statewide and yet impacts locally if there's bringing in a lot of extra people that now have to be serviced and, put kids in school. Mm-hmm. That was what, some of the models will ding you on. But then if you assume that's not going to be the case in a place like Riddle or Coos Bay, where there's people, waiting for jobs, then, it's a lot more of a positive, both in terms of tax receipts and in general economic health. But again, enterprise zones aren't, nor this program are meant to, blossom the whole state. They were targeted at rural areas, fairly specific areas, and in some ways they're meant to take, hopefully, some of the stuff that would go to the better off areas over the long term. So it's really kind of a hard thing to say, as far as balancing some of the policy objectives here. But looking at the long term, again, we haven't had much use of it, and part of it was that the program was improved in 1990 to make a lot more feasible types of projects possible, but we haven't had the best of times since then. And I think this is really a program, again, that will matter more when there's a generally stronger state and national economy, and this kind of lure, this very special, and these are very generous incentives here, given their time frame, can be used to give those areas a particular leg up in terms of, you know, being matter. That's the way I look at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Fish. Senator Starr.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 327 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 327 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Does there need to be any amendments, or is it ready to go?
I think we're ready.
Yeah, I don't think there is any amendments.
Pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Clerk, call the roll, please.
Okay.
Aye.
Bingo?
Aye.
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 Aye. Bill passes. Senator Messerly is the chief sponsor, so we'll have him carry the bill. And thank you very much. We are adjourned until tomorrow.